You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 in the morning, Monday morning, August 11th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're on the Civic Media app or by podcast or on social media. Thank you for getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. How are you doing after the weekend of rain and storms? I know the answers are very different all over the state. And it wasn't just Milwaukee, although that area got hit so hard, just pounded by rain. But there was thunderstorm damage in some other places around the state, some heavy rains. It was a brutal weekend for some folks, including some folks that were going to make an appearance here this morning, but the storm was not kind to them. And so, again, a whole lot of people that we hope are doing all right. And if you're one of those folks engaged in cleanup still, but have put us on in the background, just know that our thoughts are with you because, that it was... I don't use the word lightly. We, wicked, not in the Boston way, but truly that was wicked weather. I recognize a lot of the places in Milwaukee that were flooded, places that I used to either, go to in some form or another for work or for play during the time that we lived down there. And our hearts are definitely with everybody who's got to do some cleaning up from just catastrophic rainfall that came down, canceled the last day of the Wisconsin State Fair, closed half the parking lots at American Family Field, and a sellout crowd showed up anyway to cheer on the Brewers to a ninth consecutive win. So, those little things that continue to give us hope in the midst of, some darker times are always, always welcome. Coming up today, we're going to talk to Tom Nelson, former state assembly rep, Outagamie County executive, now author, and he's going to talk about the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now, for many, it's little more than a freighter lost at the bottom of Lake Superior, but Tom Nelson saw it as a metaphor, and I started and finished his book over the weekend, and truly, he has framed the Edmund Fitzgerald as perhaps the most apt metaphor of the late 20th century economy, one that put shareholder profits and shortcuts ahead of workers' prosperity and safety. And there were plenty of empty populist promises from candidates in both parties. And we'll talk about his new book that draws those parallels coming up at 7:30 this morning. We'll also talk to State Representative Jody Emerson. You see, every profession needs a good national organization dedicated to best practices, ongoing education, and a little bit of morale boosting as well. And that's the role of the National Conference of State Legislators. And we will talk to Representative Emerson about this year's convention. She's back from there. And by the way, we'll get into talking about the difference. Not all of these groups are created equal. Some are dedicated to service. Some are dedicated to partisan politics and division. So we'll talk to Jody Emerson about that. And that will be coming up at 8:30 this morning after we visit with our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. At 6:30, we're going to talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley because, when it came to Donald Trump, it was creepy when he said it. And it was not too surprising that he broke his promise to be, quote, the fertilization president. Ick. He even labeled himself the father of IVF. And yet there are now reports the White House has no intention of fulfilling President Trump's campaign promise that, quote, the government is going to pay for it or will mandate that your insurance company will pay for it, end quote. That's a direct quote from him. It sounded too good to be true at the time because it was. It was something he knew he could not make happen. And some of us tried to tell you so. We'll also remember a Wisconsin hero, astronaut Jim Lovell. We learned on Friday that he had passed away. Of course, meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here to talk more about the flooding and other parts of Wisconsin weather. And we'll check in with Greg Bach as well to hear what's coming up later here across the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 6:11 right now. Let's go down to Madison Studio A2, where Parker Olson is standing by, who does not appear to be in any kind of a flooded studio or anything, which is good because he's on the second floor. If there were, that would be an issue. But you have enough to deal with on a Monday morning. So
yeah,
how are you this morning?
I'm okay, Pat. You know, I had a great weekend. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I had a fantastic weekend. I was feeling really good about coming into work today, and we don't know if the power went out at the offices or not at all over the weekend, because Madison, besides from the rain and everything like that, I think it was an underground like electrical fire.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
That right. Apparently like blew off manhole covers. I don't really.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have all the details on that. We can check with Shelly Pittman at some point about that later. but I was a little worried that perhaps that would do something to the studio here, and I think it may have done something to us here at the studio, because I have one computer and not four computers. And
it's part of our homage to Jim Lovell. Like Apollo 13, you're operating a little short on the technology that you need, but you, like NASA in the day, you have that can-do attitude that you too can make this work.
That I do, and I have the handsome and capable Luke Mathers on his way.
Oh, well, see, now all's well.
All is well, hopefully.
I mean, look, if we could have put Luke in a jetpack and flown him out to Apollo 13, I mean, they would have made it all the way to the moon. I mean, this guy, there's nothing he can't do.
That'd been no issue.
So that'll work out fine. Yeah, on Saturday, we lost power for 1 second, okay? And then the lights came back on. But the computers did not, and the TV did not, because Spectrum up here took a hit somehow. And I mean, I know which lightning strike did it, because it was really loud. And that was on a day of lightning. I mean, we just had, this was before it all hit the Milwaukee area. We just had a system that was, I have not heard rolling thunder like that in a while, where, I mean, it just, the thunder never stops. It's always one rumble after another, after another, after another, and the rain. Now here, it was, you know, by comparison, only 2 inches, but 2 inches of rain in a day is, you know, well, that's a normal day of heavy rain, not that catastrophic stuff. Got another inch on Sunday when another storm popped up. And so, I mean, everything that was already green and growing will be green and growing more so when it warms up again this week. So it's been good that way. But again, we just did not expect the kind of rain that you saw in Milwaukee. We did not expect the kind of power outages that you get around there. And yeah, Spectrum, they didn't come back up here. It was about an 8-hour outage. And it was, in hindsight, wonderful. we didn't have any TV to distract us. There was nothing I could get done on the computer, so you may as well get stuff done around the house or just do nothing around the house. We did a little bit of both, and it was great.
Hey, disconnecting,
productive,
man.
And relaxing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Leash puts on YouTube, I wound up hunkered under an overhang at the Rush on Saturday in Green Bay, hearing the wind. It sounded like a freight train. It did. Man, when this thing came through, and I'd seen the advisors ahead of time saying that the outflow on this was going to be really windy, and it really was for a time. And I'm just thankful that it wasn't worse in terms of, you know, harm to people. But it was also, you know, not kind to property for various reasons in Milwaukee. And I'm not going to speculate too much. I will simply say that in Milwaukee, there is something called a deep tunnel sewer project. And I actually very temporarily worked on it for a time in one of the offices while Sherry was attending med school and I was doing some office work. And for folks that aren't familiar with it, the deep tunnel is just these huge tunnels that they bored underground, and they're designed to hold excess stormwater so that all the stormwater doesn't overwhelm the sewage treatment plant or the stormwater treatment plant. All this dirty water flows into Lake Michigan. Instead, it is held in these tunnels until it can be treated. But again, it's not designed for getting 10 inches of rain or more in one stretch. And so obviously it's not just that the rain was heavy. It's not just that the creeks and the rivers overflowed, but that the sewage tunnels topped off and overflowed as well. So some people have rainwater, just rainwater in their basements. Some people have water in from a nearby creek, stream, river. And other people have sewage in their basements right now. And that's why if I don't have the same happy tone I would like to have on a Monday morning, it's because I'm aware that there are a lot of people that are, this is not their best Monday morning ever. And we're thinking about them and hoping that things go smoothly, hoping that their, you know, that their insurance companies are good to them and things like that. And, you know, the authorities, the ones who have declared, you know, an emergency down in Milwaukee, and I'd like to say from FEMA on down, but obviously there's not a lot of confidence in FEMA these days, given the current administration. And so, unfortunately, there's going to be a long road to go for some of these folks, and we're thinking of you and hoping for the best. Let us now turn our attention to the happier news. And I mentioned all these folks, when they said the Brewer game was still going to go on, even though half the parking lots were flooded, and they said, we can't guarantee you'll get a parking spot, and if you can't make it for the Jacob Mizorowski t-shirt, we'll reschedule it. Nope. Sellout crowd. Sellout crowd. People were like, no, we need some good news. And they poured in. And my gosh, they got a show. I mean, the first half of the show, not so great. Brewers were down 5-0 in, was it the fourth inning? I believe it was.
Fourth or fifth inning. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't go away.
They don't go away at all. And they you know, chipped away at it. Came back. I think they tied it at 5, and then the Mets pulled ahead 6-5, and the Brewers were, you know, stuck at the bottom of the ninth, having to make something happen, and Isaac Collins made it happen with a solo home run off Edwin Diaz, who never gives up ninth inning homers, no. And the Brewers win in a walk-off home run, the bottom of the ninth, to beat the Mets 7-6 for their ninth game in a row. That now means the Brewers have had an 8-game winning streak, an 11-game winning streak, and now a 9-game winning streak this season. I obviously still have high hopes and expectations for the postseason. I am not excusing if the postseason doesn't go well. I'm just simply saying that with this kind of a season, even if it doesn't go well, we're now going to be able to look at this. And as Cassandra puts on YouTube, how about them Brewers? Just so fun to watch.
They are. You just have to laugh. Like,
yeah.
I was just laughing after the homer.
Yeah. I can't even get, like, you know, when Isaac Collins hit the walk-off, you know, it wasn't even like a big yell or a shout or anything. It was just put your fist up in the air because I'm like, yeah, we did it again.
Of course.
This is what we do. And, of course, they're winning, so we make it a we. This is what we do.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, coming up just moments away, we're going to talk about Jim Lovell and his passing. And in our history lesson, what does Joe Rogan have in common with Edward R. Murrow? We'll tell you. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, so the Brewers get that win yesterday, and they sweep the Mets, and 9 in a row. That's 3 sweeps in a row They swept the Mets. They swept in Atlanta last week. They swept at Washington against the Nationals. And so now they take their brooms back to American Family Field starting this evening for a three-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Coverage begins at 6:05 this evening on several Civic Media stations around the state. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Also, catch our daily newsletter over at Up North News. You just have to head to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Hit subscribe up in the top banner. One of the stories in this morning's newsletter is all about the Wisconsin Humane Society sounding the alarm after taking in a record number of animals about a week ago. In one day alone, they welcomed in more than 100 cats and kittens across their campuses, pushing the total number of animals in their care to more than 1,500. And so they're making, first off, they're putting out the word that they'd really like you to come adopt some of these animals, especially cats. They have waived the fees for adult cats. The fees are half off for kittens and reduced fees for adult dogs. You can help make a difference to an animal and ease a strain on the system that is caring for more animals than ever before. That and more in our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. One of the last things that I did on Friday was put together a story that you can find at our website as well about Milwaukee's own Jim Lovell. Jim was not born there, but he went to high school in Milwaukee. He went to the University of Wisconsin and went to space four different times. He was a test pilot, of course, before that. Even if Apollo 13 had never happened, he would have still been well known for Apollo 8, which was mankind's first ever trip to the moon. Went to the moon, orbited it, and came home safely. That had never been done before, and it happened at Christmas 1968 with the astronauts taking turns reading from the book of Genesis as a worldwide audience looked on. That would have been enough, but 2 years later, he was aboard Apollo 13, and he is the one who uttered the phrase, "Houston, we've had a problem here," which has now been shortened in the cultural lexicon to "Houston, we have a problem." But he said, "Houston, we've had a problem here after an oxygen tank explosion that crippled the craft and obviously once again had the whole world watching, this time out of fear that the three astronauts would be doomed to remain in space for all eternity. But they showed off the best of, as I've said before, NASA's on-the-fly can-do engineering and managed to jerry-rig the capsule in a way that enabled them to come home and come home safely. Jim Lovell met his wife Marilyn while they were attending Juno High School in Milwaukee. He and Marilyn were married for 71 years before she passed away 2 years ago. Lovell flew before the Apollo missions. He flew on Gemini 7 and Gemini 12. Gemini was the pre-Apollo program of orbiting the Earth and, again, working on improving all of the technology and the devices that would be needed to one day reach the moon. He always wanted to make sure that people knew that Apollo 13 was not a failed mission only because it didn't make it to the moon. It demonstrated the capacity of NASA personnel, he said. He's also the only person who has ever gone to the moon twice and did not walk on it, having orbited it both times in Apollo 8 and Apollo 13. He was a retired Navy captain, known for his calm demeanor, and Lovell later told a NASA historian that his little brush with death did affect him and that he does not worry about crises any longer. He said, "Whenever he has a problem, I say, I could have gone back in 1970. I'm still here. I'm still breathing, so I don't worry about crises." And it was also Lovell who, during Apollo 8, you know, and again, got farther away from the Earth than anybody had ever been before. And he, again, told that worldwide audience on that Christmas, "What I keep imagining is if I am some lonely traveler from another planet, what I would think about the Earth at this altitude, whether I think it would be inhabited or not." And of course, he said, like almost every astronaut tells you, when you see that, you know, that big blue marble gets smaller and smaller in space. it really puts into perspective the fact that, I mean, we're all here together. We're all on this life raft together. We've only got each other. After Gemini 7, the city of Milwaukee threw a parade in Lovell's honor down Wisconsin Avenue. And in 1996, they renamed the downtown section of North 7th Street to James Lovell Street. I've taken that exit on I-794 in Milwaukee, you know, countless times. And it is somewhat comforting to know that over these past couple of days, as people have passed by the signs or even exited onto James Lovell Street, they no longer take, you know, him and his accomplishments for granted and think just a little bit more about the calm hero from Wisconsin who went into space four different times, went to the moon two different times, overcame a crisis that the whole world watched and came out the other side as a, you know, as a good person. Survivors include four children. In a family statement, they said, "We will miss his unshakable optimism, his sense of humor, and the way he made each of us feel we could do the impossible. He was truly one of a kind." Well said, and I don't doubt that every word of that is true. Coming up first is the Midwest Farm Report. It's, by the way, this segment of the Midwest Farm Report is a good reminder that some of our civic media stations have the Midwest Farm Report for an hour during the 5 a.m. hour. Look around at civic media and maybe hear the full report on the civic media app if it's not playing in your hometown. Coming up after that, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley, where again, Donald Trump promised to be the fertilization president. Ick. And it's a promise that he has, not so surprisingly, broken. That's coming up next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum. Hey, by the way, if you head over to upnorthnewswi.com, not only can you sign up for our weekday newsletter, but our Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter as well, given the creative title of Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlum, which includes a question of the week. And this week, it gets into the personal social media accounts of politicians, not the official accounts, which tend to put out just like press releases and things like that, but the personal ones, where people like, you know, Derek Van Orden was repeatedly tweeting a photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy and thinking that it was funny somehow. So here was our question. Politicians' personal social media accounts, delete them or nope, leave them. It lets us see who they really are. And, you know, if they hoist themselves on their own petard, well, then that's just fine. I don't know. Maybe it's just not worth it to even have such an account, especially if you're going to embarrass all your constituents. But you can let us know. You can also send us a note always in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook, both for Up North News and for Civic Media as well. All right. Well, I did not think we were going to be visiting with either Kristen Lierley or Selena Heller this week. Both are on vacation this week. One is joining us from her vacation. She was nice enough to answer my request. I just wanted a quick comment on something, but she's there. She's free. Let's go to Lima, Peru. I kid you not. And that's where we find Dr. Kristen Lierley. Dr. Lierley, hello. Hello. What is Peruvian for good morning? I don't even know. It's we'll just say hi. Maybe they say hi.
It's the opposite of buenos noches. I don't
buenos,
know.
Buenos dias, but, shall we go with?
Buenos dias.
Okay.
Buenos dias, everyone.
We'll go with that. So
I am not here on vacation, Pat.
That's true. I misspoke. Well, you know, there'll be a little bit of fun, I hope. But yeah,
we
you're there
going
for
to Machu Picchu.
You're there for a conference.
Yeah, I'm there for the National OBGYN conference here talking, not surprisingly, about rural health. But I first would like to address your question of the week about personal social media accounts, because
sure.
I do remember as a previous candidate, and you have been a candidate and an elected before, I remember a time, and Parker, you can probably relate to this too, where they cautioned us about things that we put out into the world.
The digital footprint. Ooh.
Your digital footprint.
Yep.
That was such a big deal. It used to be a big deal because you were, if you put anything out there that was even potentially sketchy or controversial, that could be a huge problem. But times have clearly changed, or at least some people are just held to a different standard. So just wanted to add that comment.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Saying to me.
Which, by the way, and I'm not going to use any names here, but it did finally happen yesterday. I was approached by somebody and said, do you have any interest in running for governor? It's just like, and the note I sent back was the note from Lyndon Johnson. If nominated, I will not accept. If elected, I will not serve. Like, I have no, I'm working my dream job here. And that is so not even anywhere near the list. It was very nice of this person who was in a position to inquire. And I'm like, okay, you did your due diligence. Somebody said, just make sure Kreitla won't run. Okay, done. We've checked it off. So,
and how flattering.
And it has, you know, look, I kept my social media account when I was a legislator, and it gave my staff real heartburn, but I never had to delete anything. But as a journalist, as somebody who's been around live TV and live radio, you're always aware that anything you say can come back to bite you. And there were people that would try to get things to come back to bite me. But if you can defend what it is that you put out there, now, of course, I never posted a picture of a naked man in a ski mask, so I didn't have to worry about defending stupid stuff. But I completely understand where people come from if they would wish that politicians did not have personal social media accounts. But we're in a social media era, like it or not. This is the world we live in. So,
And an AI era where anything you say can
be twisted,
be held against you, even if you didn't say it.
Even if you didn't say it.
So it's so
yes.
Hard to know what reality is.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's where we get to our main topic here. And again, it's really good to see you. I really appreciate that you joined us live. But I would have been happy when I saw the reports over the weekend out of the White House that there was no intention of Donald Trump following up on his campaign promise that he said many times that either the government was going to pay for IVF or we are going to mandate that your insurance companies pay for IVF, because after all, we want to make more babies, don't we? Was, you know, exactly what Trump said. And now to hear that it's never been included in anything and they don't have any intention of it, I mean, it was just all a lie. And so I asked if you wanted to, like, maybe do a video statement, put something up on social media and we'd play it back. But you're here now, thankfully, and I just wanted to get your thoughts of with all the patients that you've dealt with, some of whom I'm sure took those words to heart. Look, this isn't at the top of a lot of people's lists, but in terms of just a flat-out campaign lie, this one should have a bit more sting to it.
I knew it was a lie from the beginning because I know how hard it is to get insurance to cover fertility issues, and I also know how much my patients who are struggling with their fertility suffer and how much they were hoping and banking on Donald Trump's words when he called himself the father of IVF and said that he was going to ensure that they could get coverage. So yeah, they're crushed and they should be. He used them. It's another broken campaign promise. Really, in the grand scheme of things, it's not surprising because this is what Donald Trump does. He lies to people to get what he wants, and then he turns his back on them.
And then the question, of course, becomes, and this is more the political question, but does it get held against him? Do people who now feel lied to, you know, do they actually take that frustration out in some way, shape, or form, you know, preferably in the midterm elections next year? Or, like so many other things, does he just get a pass and people go, well, you know, people say lots of things during the campaign. And that's where I always want to come back to this point of don't normalize these things. Don't normalize lying. That, yes, there are broken promises, but the times when you just know somebody's lying to your face, you can't just chalk that up to, well, people say things in the heat of the campaign. No, this is a real personal flaw.
Yeah, and it is such a deeply personal situation that when things are not going your way And it's kind of in the same arena as abortion care. When you have a certain belief about something or certain value, and then you find yourself in a situation that's inconsistent with what you believed before, it's crushing and it causes shame. And Donald Trump takes advantage of people's shame and crushes them with that terrible emotion. And that makes you not want to act. It just makes you want to feel bad. But this is a time to hold people accountable. This is a time to look at Donald Trump on television and all of his ridiculous promises and all of the lies he's told and say, no more. He is hurting people. He is hurting communities. He's tearing families apart. And then he's saying silly things like, we're going to pay you $5,000 to have a baby. Like, are you kidding? It costs $25,000 for some people to go through a cycle of IVF. And many people need more than one cycle. So he's toying with people's lives. It's painful. It creates shame. But when we come together and have these conversations, that is how we get beyond this. And that is how we end up with the new leadership that we need to forge the vision that we all want to see.
And that was where I saw an article over the weekend about this, that Trump gets away with a lot of this, but the times when he does get stung are the times when Democrats or other Trump critics are mindful enough to put a human face on these lies or on these failures, and to not be, you know, quote unquote, the party of government or the party of policy, but to be the party of people. And to actually tell people's stories, that has always been one of your strengths, you know, even before the Dobbs decision, but certainly after that, was telling the stories of people for whom issues that you fight for are so important. And now this definitely includes fertility. And it gets beyond that, Kristen. It gets to insurance as well. Again, we're the only country that really lets the for-profit corporate insurance world, you know, run the show here. And I think this is just one more example of where you can grow that number of Americans who go, why is this still a thing? Why are we still doing this way?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody had commented on one of my Facebook posts about how they get their $200 a week drug for $10 or something because they live in Denmark. And it just made me think, because politicians have weaponized socialized medicine or just healthcare against us. And they've made us believe that we should be paying more and we should be having to sacrifice more just to get healthcare. And a lot of people believe that until they're in a situation where they can't afford it. And then they, again, are crushed and it causes them to go bankrupt and it may cause them to die and it causes trauma to their families and to their communities. But those beliefs that are fed to us by these politicians are so powerful. And I mean, Pat, I don't honestly even know, as a physician who is the voice of so many of my patients, sometimes I don't even know how to communicate with my patients about this issue because it is so politically charged and so divisive.
Yeah, it has hit doctors and other healthcare providers as well, like nothing has before, to put them in a position that they did not ask to be in, and yet it does for you and for so many others. I didn't ask off air because I know you're traveling and you've got the conference and everything. Do you want to stick around for the history lesson, or are you ready to run off and get some breakfast and get your conference day started there?
Oh, you know I love history.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I did not want this to be a hostage situation or anything like that. When you were, did the traveling allow you to miss the first Packer preseason game, which apparently we lost? Apparently we didn't look good. I don't care. I could never make myself care about preseason. And I say that not just as a baseball fan. I don't watch much preseason baseball either. To me, it's like, that's all just getting ready for the real thing. Don't sweat, you know, the wins and losses and the mistakes. That's when you're supposed to make them. But a lot of people did get wrapped up in Saturday's action. Did you get to miss it?
No, the boys and I made a great plate of nachos, and that was the highlight of our evening. It was a hard game to watch, but you're totally right. It's not a game that they necessarily play to win. It's a game that they play to test each other out and mm-hmm. to see who's got what they need. So it was, I think they got what they wanted out of it. And I think that it's going to be very different when they're playing a real season game.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And then the last thing I'll say that's also somewhat sports related. First off, this is a great moment for women. The first woman ever to serve as an umpire in a Major League Baseball game did so over the weekend. And, you know, congratulations to her. This is a great step. But what truly makes it a great step, showing that you know, women belong in all the places that men do as well, is she missed a call. This ball was so
far. The first one.
This ball was so far inside, and she called it a strike. And I'm like, yep, see? It's any umpire.
We're all the same.
Anybody can mess this up. Exactly. Alicia on YouTube, I'm glad to see everyone's favorite OBGYN made it to Peru safely. Yes, she did.
Aw, and thanks, Alicia.
That was nice of her to stick around with us, and we will talk more in today's history lesson coming up. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, former State Assembly Rep Tom Nelson will be talking about his book about the Edmund Fitzgerald. He was also on Kristen Lyerly's show over the weekend. That's coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on.
Well, today's history lesson with the international flavor of Kristen Lyerly joining us live from Lima, Peru, kicks off from 1973. The first real oldies revival kicked off with George Lucas and his new film, American Graffiti. It opened on this day in 1973. The film was set in 1962 and created a wave of nostalgia for songs from the 50s and 60s. Of course, that one from Bill Haley and his comments, where again, I'll make the plug for the podcast I'm listening to, A History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs. And also, along those same lines, Kristen, you have Netflix, right?
Uh-huh.
Highly recommend Sunday Best, a documentary about Ed Sullivan and the way that he, against network and sponsor wishes, consistently booked black music acts on his show and gave them a national spotlight. And it is, we're not finished with it yet, but it is really good. Highly recommend it to everybody. Today,
yet you could not show Elvis's legs.
Right. Oh, yeah. Then there were more. There were other areas where they weren't supposed to show them swaying to the music and things like that. It was a different time. Let's see. Today would have been Hulk Hogan's 72nd birthday. Of course, he passed away just days ago here. The late singer Eric Carmen was born this day in 1957. I know you're probably expecting me to play like All by Myself or one of those other, you know, schleppy
Hungry
tunes of
eyes.
His. Hungry. Yep.
I thought you were going to go Schmaltz.
Yep, but no. I went with the Raspberries, his first group. Again, born in 1957, passed away in March of last year at the age of 66.
Get into a car.
Oh, no, that's not where I was going to bring the Raspberries back up. That's okay. We'll come. Tell you what, keep Joe Jackson up. We'll tell you. It's Joe Jackson's 69th birthday today. He was born
nice.
David Ian Jackson in Staffordshire, England. There we go.
Dr. Lyerly, it's been a morning, let me tell you.
It's been very Monday for all of us here.
Yes.
The Mall of America opened 31 years ago today in Bloomington, Minnesota, 1992. That was kind of like, yep, that was kind of like our local mall back then. It was a big deal. We were there all the time.
A local mall.
You had,
it was like a spectacle.
We had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and Camp Snoopy was, you know, nirvana to them. It was the greatest thing. Another birthday here, Joe Rogan. Now, look, I'm about to make some people upset. But
oh, boy.
Just somebody... Please explain Joe Rogan to me. Explain his appeal, given what you know that, I mean, I get that people pop off all the time. And sometimes, you know, I'll say as well, there's times when I'm speculating. But all I think of is this Edward R. Murrow quote. And it goes like this. Just because your voice reaches halfway around the world doesn't mean you are wiser than when it only reached to the other end of the bar. And that to me, yeah, is Joe Rogan.
I think about Joe Rogan from Fear Factor, and I, yes, wonder how all of the other things that he's done in his life up to this point, which are really pretty different than what he's doing right now, how that all feeds into his approach to, is it considered journalism? Is it entertainment? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, we're definitely in the infotainment sphere here. And I guess all I'm saying is there's a line. I don't know where the line is where
he doesn't either.
Well, no, he doesn't. And what I'm getting at is if he would just read a little more or just do a little more research before saying the things that he says, which, again, I'm not perfect either. But there's a line somewhere where you can't just go, well, I might believe it if you sound convincing enough to me. That's not how any of this should work. You know, I'm a big fan of evidence. Call me crazy. The movie Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer opened on this day in 1995. The movie soundtrack would top the Billboard album charts here, thanks to lead singer Coolio and Gangster's Paradise. Babe Ruth became the first player to hit 500 home runs on this day in 1929, hitting a home run in Cleveland that day. Lady Antebellum released a song this day in 2009, a song about drunk dialing that went to number one on the country chart and number two on the Hot 100.
It happens all the time.
This is what?
I sing this in the car.
Do you? Okay. Big crossover hit. Sold 9 million digital downloads. And then finally, one final birthday, actor Chris Hemsworth is 42 years old today. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, if he just maybe eat some vegetables and go to a gym now and then. I mean, he needs a lot of work. Poor guy. That's sarcasm, by the way,
I'm
folks.
I'm a fan.
I was going to say, wait, what? I'm not very familiar, but I'm familiar enough.
I was just trying. I knew if I said that long enough, we would not hear Kristen drooling, is all I was getting at, was just to express that. Let's see. We got about a minute left here, Kristen, and we've got Tom Nelson on coming up in our next hour. We only get to talk to him for a little under 15 minutes, and you had a big full episode with Tom Nelson over the weekend on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
Oh, I do love Tom Nelson. He's my homeboy. We talked about the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's what you're going to talk about, too, and how it's so much more than a national tragedy when that ship went down. It was really all about what was happening with the American manufacturing economy and how we were failing our workers. And, you know, if nobody speaks to that better than Tom Nelson.
Yeah, as a legislator, as Outokumi County executive, and now as an author, and I'm gonna press him on how much of this was his, because I know there was a co-author at work on this too, and the book was so good that, and since I've known Tom for so long, my first question is going to be, you didn't really write that much of this, did you? I mean, share credit, because it is really good. I highly recommend it, and you can hear the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show weekends off our Civic Media stations in Oshkosh and Green Bay, and go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us from Peru. Have a wonderful conference, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. And don't forget about the podcast. You can also find me where you get your podcasts.
That's right. Head to Spotify, Apple, look up the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, and more. All right. See you, my friend.
Have a great week.
All right. A couple more hours to go here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.